Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
What a blessing to be back. Thank you all. An honor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You're kind. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you so much. That's so kind of you. It is so good to be back. Oh, my. God is so good. Well, I want to welcome our online audience. Thank you for being a part of our service today. God's going to do something amazing. Newcastle, we love you. Come on, would you welcome Newcastle and our online audience? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Let me just take a minute and thank every one of you, because Michelle and I had the opportunity to do something that very few pastors get to do, is to be able to truly disconnect from the responsibility of a calling of our life and to focus 100% on each other and our relationship with God. And I talked to so many pastors when I told them, hey, I'm taking a month of vacation all at one time and a 2-month sabbatical. They were like, dude, how can you do that? Will the church be there when you get back? And I said, you know, here's what I want you to know. For 3 months, because of your faithfulness as a church and this amazing staff that we had, Michelle and I made a commitment not to even discuss church. Now, we talked about you in a good way, but we didn't talk about church. I didn't know a thing. They shut my email down. And I want you to know that very few people ever have the privilege to do that in a pastoral role where you truly can separate yourself like that to God. You gave us that privilege. And I want you to know, for Michelle and I, we are beyond grateful. I will never have enough words to thank you for that, because it did something in both of us that we're about to experience as a church together. So thank you so very much from the bottom of our heart. We're so grateful. We really, really are. Thank you. Thank you. In the timing of God, something we scheduled a long time ago is going to occur next weekend, and I'm so glad it is, because it fits exactly into what I saw both before we left and when we got back, or on our way during the sabbatical. John Bevere is going to be here next weekend. Man, come on. That's going to be a blast. And he has such a prophetic ministry. It's such a God thing. And here's what I want to do today. I want to talk to you about something that I believe God showed me that I'm convinced of. Now, if you've been a part of this church for any length of time, this coming week or so will be 28 years since Michelle and I founded this ministry with just she and I and our son. And then look what God's done. But in these 28 years, you will have never heard me say this. You will have heard me say, I really feel like God put this so strongly in my heart. I know that and I always would put a caveat, because people are human and you can, you know, you only see through in part, the Bible said, and we only see through a glass or a mirror dimly lit. But what I'm telling you today is not something I think that I've heard from God about. I am 100% convinced that what I'm telling you is from the Spirit of God, and it will come to pass. And I want you to understand the clarity with which I want you to grasp what I'm about to say to you. Prior to leaving, it started in May, taking the break. God began to deal with me when the virus was kind of, you know, of course, it's taken 2020 and just obliterated it, right? At least for practicality. But the Holy Spirit began to speak to me back in May, and it more strongly even in June, because we left in the middle of July, that this fall, this nation will be on fire. And I didn't know if that meant figuratively or literally, and I think it's going to be a little of both. And if you hear those words and you say, that brings me great fear, then you're not going to hear what I'm saying today. And as I began to talk to our key staff that led, you know, with us, and I would say, look, what's coming this fall is there's no preparation for what I believe is going to come to pass. Now, the second thing, though, that was clear in my heart in the beginning, just inklings of it in the beginning, was what God was going to begin something, a similar, if you will, a two-track. This fire here, but there'd be another fire here. And the clarity with which he's brought to my heart this simple fact. This fall, we are going to experience, not here at Victory, but I believe a sovereign move of the Spirit of God in the nation, at least all I see in my heart as I know is America. We are going to see a resurgence of a sovereign, now listen to me, a sovereign move of God of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And And there are three categories of those gifts. And I'll talk about these things more in the weeks to come leading up to our impact offering. But I want you to hear this, that God is wanting to emphasize two of the three categories of the gifts of the Spirit. And you say, I don't even understand that. Well, you keep coming and you will. Is the power gifts of the Spirit and the revelation gifts of the Spirit. And even the power gifts will be prominent. And here's why. Because the world in which we're living in, the world has been trained, the culture has been trained to think according to Romans 1 with a reprobate mind. Doesn't mean people in the culture have a reprobate mind, but their process and thinking is literally parallel to what Romans shows. A reprobate mind is a mind without judgment. And you will not be able to converse, have a conversation with, and dialogue with a reprobate mind. It's impossible. But the scripture said, God said, when people, because these are not our enemies and these certainly aren't God enemies. By the way, every human being outside of Jesus is my mission field, not my enemy. Amen. Come on, man. That's our mission field. The power of God in manifestation to such an extent that the rescue occurs with people trapped in darkness. And we're going to see a resurgence of that this fall. And I'll be talking to you after John Bevere is here in the weeks to come, leading up to the impact offering, about what that really looks like and being prepared for it. And what there's so many things he's spoken to my heart about that I have such clarity about. And I want you to be prepared. But here's the main thing I want you to see. The first thing the Holy Spirit did with me and Michelle was not tell us about what was going to be coming, but to prepare us personally for what would come to pass. And what he did for us, I know he wants to do for you today. And if you'll let your heart be open right now, you can move into a place in your relationship with God that is going to prepare you to be able to be used of God in this move of God. Now, listen to me, please. You say, Pastor John, I don't even understand these things very much. That's okay. This is not something you work to figure out. This is something you yield to God. Let me say it this way. If you go outside and it's pouring down rain and you walk through the rain, you don't have to wonder about getting wet. You just have to get in the rain. And my hope today is to help you to remove those things, those hindrances that will keep you out of what God's about to do. And I'll spend time in these coming weeks to help prepare you for that, show you what God's doing. And we are going to experience, starting right now, some of these very things. And I'm so very grateful for it. When we are on our sabbatical, over the last couple, 3 years, there's been something with Michelle and I that, not personally, but something that just deeply impacted our hearts. We all live in a world that's broken. And it just was so difficult. We prayed about it, and it was a situation that wasn't about us particularly, but it so deeply brought sorrow into our heart. And very dear friends of ours, Pat and Brooke Butcher, Pastor Pat Butcher spoke in my absence. Is he a hoot or what? Isn't he so? I love Pat Butcher and all the guys that came in and shared, and our staff. They all did such a fantastic job. And again, I'm 60 right now. And Pastor Steve, just so you know, is still 60 for another week and a half or so. He'll be 61. He will soon be old as dirt again, just so you know. But right now, he's just a young man. He's a young man. And so Pat and Brooke have been just, you know, praying with us about this over the years. But it was so heavily on our soul. So we're on vacation. I'm walking on the beach. I get a phone call. And it's Brooke Butcher. And she said, John, I was in prayer, praying for you and Michelle. And I know the Holy Spirit gave me something I have to tell you. But I'm very hesitant because it sounds like not a very nice thing to say to somebody. I said, well, Brooke, you and Pat are like family. You can't hurt my feelings. I just want to be in the plan of God. What did God show you? She did all the, you know, caveats of, you know, and I said, just tell me. I'm happy. I'm fine. And then she said this. She said, the Holy Spirit showed me that for you to go in your own life and in the call of your life where you need to go, there's a sin you have to repent of. And I said, okay. She said, the sin of idolatry. And I went, oh? I said, I tell me how. Because I'm thinking like idolatry. If you would have said to me 10,000 things, I never would have thought of that. It never even was aware to me. Can I tell you something about the enemy of your soul? He doesn't play fair. He tries to keep you in the dark to the very thing that may be capturing your heart. And she said, this thing that you guys have been praying through, this thing has sat on the throne of your heart. And you've replaced God with this thing that you both are troubled about. And what it's resulted in is you put everything through that filter first. And boy, I when I tell you, I didn't see that from a million miles away. And I thought, I said, that's true. I pray, and within 30 seconds, I'm praying about that. And it was a constant thing on my heart. And what I want to help you to see is what Brooke said to me, is how to evict idols out of your life. And I want you to see the result of it. And you'll see it today if you yield to God. It's so, so very important. So I got off of the beach, got back to where we were staying. And I just went on YouTube and was prompted to look up sermons, idols. That's all I wrote in. And there's a young African-American pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who is one of the most incredible young pastors emerging in the nation. He's remarkable. A young man named Michael Todd. And he had a sermon called Evicting Idols. So I said, I'll watch that. Because I said, Lord, you know, I want to understand. Well, you know, the mercy of God. I didn't know that was happening. God mercifully bring someone that loves us to share that with me. And then there is no coincidence in God. You know, the word coincidence doesn't exist in the Hebrew language. It doesn't even exist. And I listened to this message, and I want to credit Michael Todd. I'm actually going to use the foundation of it to talk to you, because it's what God showed me to do in my heart, and I want to just simply obey him. And when I finished listening to that message, it wasn't, you know, a big, like, crazy, you know, shout to God, seen an angel. Here's all I did. I said, Lord, I remove that off the throne of my heart. Forgive me. I turn and I repent from that. And I will not let that or anything ever again, by your help and grace, to ever capture the throne of my heart. And I evict that idol out of my life. Now, that was it. That was about as exciting as it was. The moment I did that, something happened I had no expectation of. It felt to me. I'm not saying it was there. It felt to me like a claw popped out of the back of my head. And it was different, like that. And it was so overwhelming to me that I wondered. I thought, oh, this is too good to be true. Is this going to go away in days and then weeks? And there are many other things God did throughout. The last was the last week of our sabbatical. I won't be sharing it today, but it could not have been. If I had seen Jesus in a vision, it would have been the only thing that would have made it more real. And all from a simple act of obedience of a person who loved us enough to pray for us. And God is about to do something in the earth of with the gifts of the Spirit that he wants you to be prepared for. Here's what I want to help you to understand. Whatever or whomever is sitting on the throne of my heart in your heart is going to govern your life. Idolatry in our life. It isn't, you know, idolatry, we think of like a statue you worship or some false god. That's the obvious part. But it really is anything or anyone that sits on the throne of our heart. And that's what happens when idolatry occurs. It's when something other than God is sitting on the throne of my heart. So Proverbs 4 gives us this incredible admonition about your heart and how to protect it. Proverbs 4:23, the scripture said, protect your heart above all else. For your heart, it will determine the course of your life. So here's a question I want you to ask today. Not for any kind of condemnation reason, but for reasons of freedom, because God is desperately wanting your heart, and you'll see why. Who or what may be sitting on the throne of your heart today other than him first? And my hope is that after we get to the other side of this, that you're going to experience something similar to what I did. It may not be that profound, but it will prepare you for what's about to come. Because the only thing you'll need to be in a place to be prepared for what is God's about to break forth with the moving of his Spirit and an outflow of the Spirit of God, a sovereign move of God, will have your heart prepared. That's it. He said, well, what else do I have to do? Just get out in the rain. You'll get wet. It's going to be remarkable, but it's going to be parallel with a nation on fire. But let me encourage you with this. The fire of God brings healing. The fires of the flesh, of the world, of what's born of the enemy bring destruction. And our God, listen to me, is an all-consuming fire. The only hope of this nation and world is the power of God consuming the brokenness of a sin-stained, reprobate world. And he loves them, and we must love them equally. They cannot be my enemy. They cannot be my enemy in any way. I refuse to put anything on the throne of my heart other than what is on God's heart and every human being he loves and he wants desperately to redeem. I want to talk to you today about four outcomes of having an idol sit on the throne of your heart. The first one is a spiritual deception will occur. You know, and how subtle these things can be. In Ezekiel, God was speaking to leaders and he was talking about idolatry. And I'm just going to take a few scriptures and let you see the context. And what he said to them in Ezekiel 14, verse 3, Son of man, he's talking and he's prophesying now to the people. He said, these leaders have set up idols in their hearts. They have embraced things that make them fall into sin. When you embrace an idol, whether intentionally or unintentionally, it literally impacts your ability to see. And when you can't see, you are driven into darkness. Now, you might be thinking, like, you mean like robbing banks and killing people? No, no, no. Darkness is the absence of God's light in your life in any area. And so it colors everything in your world. And so today, as I look to you now with these lovely glasses on, and there's a reason why I'm putting things on today that will look like, okay, take that off now. You look weird. There's a reason. So stick with me. I'm weird anyway. But you just now look differently to me. You all look a little bluish, Smurf-like, if you remember the Smurfs, because these glasses have affected the way I see. And everything I process in my life will come out of the way I see. The easiest thing to do in our life was to justify our idols. Right now, a huge idol in our world is politics. Now, doesn't mean you shouldn't be civically responsible. And in fact, let me tell you, we are going to, before the election, I'm going to have two evenings, an online event where I'm going to talk about this subject. Trump versus Biden, what would Jesus do? So we're going to deal with policies the Bible talks about, and we're gonna deal with that. You say, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't have said that. Can I just give you just a brief encouragement? The Bible said a fool answers a matter before he hears it. So don't tell people what they're going to say when they haven't said it. Now, if you don't hear it and then you don't like it, you know, have a great day. That's fine. No, really, then you're out. Then you can evaluate. And so we're going to address those things from a biblical, not a political perspective. But it's so easy to get these things on the throne of your heart. There's so many things. Emotions can be on the throne of your heart. Sorrow can be on the throne of your heart. Grief can sit on the throne of your heart. The love of money, sin, pornography in this culture sits on the throne of so many people's hearts and they're trapped. The percentages of Christians bound to pornography is overwhelming, and it's not because they want to be bound. They're trapped. They don't know the way out. How do I get this idol out of my life? Because I promised 600,000 times, and I keep, why am I trapped? God wants an intimacy with every one of us. He wants intimacy with my heart and your heart. It's so easy to justify our idols. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said these words. He said, The eye, what you see, the eye is the light of the body. So if your eye is unclouded, not clouded, but unclouded, your whole body or life will be full of light. But if your eye is evil or darkened, your whole life or your whole body is going to be full of darkness. When an idol exists in my heart, spiritual blindness occurs in my life. And I want to help you today to just move beyond that. I want you to see today that everything you see today, the way, if these are on your eyes, then your thoughts are going to be colored, your emotions, your feelings, even your character can be changed. Christians can find it absolutely appropriate to act completely unchristlike in the culture in which we live today because their opinion is so strong. Are your opinions on the throne of your heart? Is the coronavirus first in your heart? Mask or no mask? I think people have talked more about mask and no mask than they have Jesus in the last 6 months. If you've talked more about mask, if it's consumed your life or no, and I tell you, I know this and you can be right. I remember, y'all don't remember a guy named Reinhard Bonnke? Wonderful man, used of God. He's in heaven now. Reinhard had this German accent. I remember hearing him speak when I was a young man. And he said, you may be right. You may say, I am dead right. He said, but you are still dead. And I thought, wow. You said, my opinion's right. Well, it doesn't belong on the throne of your heart. It really doesn't. And here's the tough thing. Right now, you're looking at me thinking, get those goofy glasses off. But can I tell you this? I forgot they were on. This is what normal looks like to me. Everybody has a blue tint. And you know, I'll kind of do, these goofy things are on my face. That's what happens when an idol's on your heart. And when God is removed, let me say it this way. When God sits on the throne of your heart, the veil gets removed. That's why the Bible again and again tells us how important it is to see. Paul prayed for the church. He said that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Listen, so that you as an individual may know the hope of your calling. That you as an individual might know the riches of the glorious inheritance that belongs to you as a saint. That you might know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who are to believe. And when this is like this, you see none of that. All the things that Jesus purchased for you at your disposal as you walk by grace through faith submitted to God, they disappear from your purview. You don't see them. The second thing that occurs is when an idol sits on the throne of your heart is spiritual adultery. Throughout the scripture, God refers to us leaving his presence, worshiping idols, if you will, or even going into sin as an act of adultery against him. Let me read you out of the book of Ezekiel again. In Ezekiel 14:5, God, again, speaking to the leaders, he said, I want to seize the house of Israel by their heart. What is he saying? God just simply wants intimacy with your heart. Because they are all estranged from me by their idols. The word estranged is a word that you would use if a husband and wife were broken up and their estrangement was because of adultery. God says, when an idol is in your heart, you're becoming estranged from me. And so what many of us end up living like our whole life is we just simply take this and we figure out how to get over these weird glasses. And now we start to walk around with this. That we are committing adultery against our God because someone else is more intimate with my heart than he is. Something else is more intimate. I just heard the Holy Spirit say this. Your need to understand is an idol before God. Let me say that again. There's some of us right now, whether online or here, your need to know why has become an idol. God, how could this happen? I need to understand. Your grief may become that idol to you. Your need to understand cannot exceed God when he tells us, don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. It's so easy to lose intimacy with God. Not the obvious things of, I'm going to go rob a bank or, you know, try to destroy somebody's marriage through sexuality. This is the subtle work of the enemy to destroy the hearts of men and women. Idolatry is simply like this. Because God literally calls us the bride of Christ. And God refers to knowing God the same way the Bible refers to Adam knowing Eve and she conceived a child. The intimacy with which God speaks to us in his desire with intimacy with our heart, he brings akin to the marriage union and sex within marriage. He said, I want an intimacy with you that can reproduce life in you. It's so important to understand that when we are estranged from him, it's like slipping out of bed with God at 1 a.m. going and having an affair, slipping back into bed, hoping he didn't notice. You'll end up making plans for it. If you're bound to sin, you'll make plans for your sin. If you're bound to pornography, you'll make plans for your pornography. It's what happens when you fall in love with something other than the God that loved you. Now you say, well, this is not a happy day in church. I would tell you it's absolutely just the opposite. Because here's what God's really saying. And I believe here's what I would have heard from God. John, where have you been? I didn't even know this was happening. I wasn't out robbing banks. I think he would have said, son, if you can just get that idol out of your heart, there's so many things that I want to share with you that you're missing. If you hear this through a religious mind, it'll be like God's angry at you. No, God is brokenhearted. The Bible said we can grieve God's spirit. Not grieve like he's angry, grieve like he's brokenhearted. The same way a person is brokenhearted when their husband or wife commits adultery. God said, no, come back to me. He said, Pastor, you're going to take off those weird glasses now? No. I want you to see that this is becoming my normal. And yet you can look at it and go, it's not normal. But is it possible that the way we live our everyday life, we look like this and don't know it? Listen to what he said in Psalms 24, verse 3. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? But he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. God said, he didn't ask you to be perfect. He's not looking for perfection. You can't get that in this life. But he said, John, you can surely make sure that I sit singularly on the throne of your heart. The third thing that happens when an idol is on the throne of my heart or your heart is spiritual deafness. It literally will begin to muffle the voice of God in my heart and in your heart. Now, these are noise-canceling headphones. And when you put these on, even your voice changes, and I'll start to talk really loudly because I can't hear. And you see, the Bible says that God is constantly speaking to us through a still, small voice. But if I were to ask anybody here, hey, whisper something to me, you could be as intent and full wanting to say something to me and give me information that could save my life, but I can't hear you. When an idol is resting on the throne of your heart, you see differently. You lose intimacy with God, and you cease to be able to hear his voice fully. You get pieces of it here, pieces of it there. Listen to what he said in Acts 26, verse 27. For the hearts of these people have become hardened, and their ears, now listen, they cannot hear. They've closed their eyes. This was willful. And so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts, listen, cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me. What's that? The word turn to me means repentance. As long as this is happening and you're trapped there, they can't even turn and repent. And listen to this statement. This shows you the heart of the love of God. They can't turn to me and permit or let me heal them. Do you understand? This isn't about getting rid of this stuff so God's not angry at me. God's saying this stuff is preventing me from bringing healing into every corner of your life. And these idols that have intentionally or unintentionally found a place on the throne of your heart, they're taking away the only source of life that you have on this planet. Here's a question. Whose voice is creating the narrative of my everyday life? Whose voice am I hearing? God's word, God's spirit, or a thousand different things? How crazy do I look right now? I've seen, evidently, this. People took pictures of this, and I guess people were sending these everywhere. Like, this is, you got to see. You come and see why this weird thing happened. But can I tell you something? When we try to tell people about Jesus, and we don't reflect an intimacy with God, is it possible this is what they see? Is it possible that God is wanting to use you in such a way with your life that you truly can reflect his heart for people without being trapped in all of these terrible things that come upon people. These things are starting to become my normal. I can't hear quite well, but I'm kind of getting used to it. I totally forgot about the glasses. And this doesn't feel like anything, but it's there. And you begin to live your everyday life, and then you want help from God. Then I want, Lord, show me, because now I'm getting used to my deception. And the last and fourth thing are spiritual consequences. Spiritual consequences. Let me read to you from Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. The scripture tells us, wherefore we, since we are also surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses, those gone before us to heaven, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Now listen to these words, which so easily ensnares us. He said, this can easily happen to anybody. It doesn't make you bad. It doesn't make you good. He said, but you really need to be aware that the weights of life and the sins of life can so easily trap you. He said, throw off these encumbrances and then let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking, focus singularly to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. This is a weighted blanket, which are horrible. No, this thing is so heavy. No, I'm serious. It weighs like a ton. Wow, that was brutal. Okay. Michelle bought this because she wanted the weighted blanket. And she said to me, honey, would you like to have this weighted blanket on at night? And I went, no, because I can't see. We've been married 32 years, and for years, finally, Michelle gave up, because every night we'd go to bed, I would rip the covers out of the bottom because I can't have my feet in foot prison overnight. I would rip them out. And she said, why do you do that? I said, I can't live in foot prison. I can't do it, baby. And so now she has gotten used to me tearing apart my half of the bed every night, so I will never have to spend an evening in foot prison again. But this weighted blanket is, these things are heavy. I guess they can, you know, help whatever they help do, but to me, they're just miserable. No, they really are. But here's the question. Think of this. What if this is how you're living your life? Where you can't see and you can't hear, and you're losing intimacy with God, and you're weighted down from the things of this life that God said, I don't want in your heart. I want them out of your heart so I can get them out of your life. Please hear these words. God cannot take you out of this place until the idols get out of his place. God cannot take you. This is so, so important. This is a direct quote from Michael Todd. God cannot take you out of this place until the idols get out of his place in my heart. The scripture speaks to running your race. How far? How far can you go in your race with God if you can't see him? The glasses, if I can't see him clearly. What if I'm looking to the idol for direction more than God? How can I get there? I can't. What if I'm looking and the intimacy's gone and I get direction from my idol instead of God? I'll be off course constantly. What if I can't hear God's direction as I'm running? And what if I'm so weighted down? Look, if you see me running, I can promise you this. Someone is chasing me. Okay? But if I am going to run, I'm purposely not going to weigh myself down. He said, well, if you learned to run, you'd have an endorphin. I've never met an endorphin in my life. Every time I've exercised, did you get your endorphins? I don't know where. If I can go on Amazon, I'll get one. But I never felt one yet. So what do I do? God sovereignly wants to move in your life today. Some of your idol, maybe you know exactly what it is, but for many of us like me, I had no intention of letting something that I thought had a real reason to be on my heart become an idol and sit on the throne of my heart. And God wants to do something great for you as well today. We have to evict every idol. Evict them off the throne of our hearts. Ezekiel 14:6 says this, so tell my people Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Repent and turn away from your idols and stop all your detestable sins. So how do I do it? I have to choose to just simply turn. I have to choose and say, Lord, I refuse to let anything, anyone, for any reason, valid or otherwise, bitterness, anger. You don't know what they did to me. That anger doesn't belong on the throne of your heart. Don't let the actions of another person become the God and the Lord of your life. I have to repent and put him back upon the throne of my heart. Acts 3:19 tells us this. Repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. And he again will send you Jesus, the anointed and appointed Messiah. The fact of it is, every one of us are called to be kingdom builders. But kingdom building isn't about an offering. Kingdom building is about who sits on the throne of my heart. When God's kingdom is first in my heart, I don't need to be persuaded. My intimacy with God will lead me into loving what he loves, despising what he despises. Oh, he has so much for you. And he's wanting to prepare you for something he's about to do in the earth. Not just to do it for you, but to also do it through you. No matter where you are in your relationship with God, he can take you to a place that you're... This is going to be an amazing time on this earth. And God has dealt with my heart. Prepare people for this. Prepare people for this. We can spend our whole lives being comfortable with these idols, or we can lay them down. But here's what I want you to know about our God from Psalm 86 and verse 5 says this. Oh Lord, you are so good and ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. Listen closely to my prayer. Oh Lord, hear my urgent cry. I will call to you whenever I'm in trouble, and you will answer me. God is so ready to put these things behind me when I do. His unfailing love will never leave you, never forsake you. If you hear what I say today through religious ears and not the ears of that your ears may be even muffled too much to understand, God's not against you, no matter what is going on in your life. He wants you free. He wants your heart. He wants to be able to lead you, guide you, direct you, to bring the things that he paid for with his precious blood to pass in my life and in your life. Remember again, God cannot get me out of this place until the idols get out of his place. So what's he called us to do? To take the burdens and take them off of our lives and drop them. Doesn't mean they go away. Doesn't mean the emotions go away. But you say, I refuse to give you place in my life any longer. You will not govern my thought life. You will not govern my prayer life. You will not govern my emotions and my actions. I take you willfully by the grace of God off the throne of my heart. That's what he's called every one of us to do. And he said, I refuse to have my ears. I'm sorry, I was probably talking really loud because I couldn't hear myself. I refuse to have the voice of God muffled in my life. You will fill me with the knowledge of your will. I will hear your voice. I will be led by your spirit. I will be led by your word. When I read the word of God, it won't be dead to me. It will be a living word because I will hear your voice. And Lord, I refuse to leave that intimate place with you. I refuse it. And I refuse to let that thing, whether it be a sin or a weight, to any longer keep me back from this amazing intimacy with God. And then lastly, I want to see you clearly. And I want to see my way forward clearly. Because I know if I can see what you have for me, I can move toward it. Oh, how he's called every one of us to live this freedom. It's the freedom that he longs for me to have. It's the freedom that he longs for you to have. It isn't about God angry or God happy. It's about God loving you so much that he said, I want to bring times of refreshment to your life. And we are about to come into something in this nation that he wants to bless and use you through. It's going to be sovereign. I'll share more about it as we go forward. But it's remarkable what God's about to bring on the earth in the midst of this darkness. And what I know God will do right now, because he did it last night, he showed it to me in my heart, is he wants you to have the same opportunity I had when I got a phone call walking on a beach. You may have come here today like I was on the beach. I didn't know. Honestly, I didn't. I never in a million years would have equated, because it was a legitimate thing. It was a legitimate weight or burden that I was feeling. I just didn't know that it had slipped to that place. I didn't know the impact it was having. But oh, the mercy of God and the kindness of a church that would let their pastor have time apart after 27 years of pastoring to just go hear God. Thank you for that. There are things about to come to pass on the earth that we are going to get. So many things are clear. I'll share this as we go. But God wants you free. I didn't feel anything. I just simply said, oh, Father, forgive me. I take that idol out of the throne of my heart. I refuse you, please. It's that simple. Would you stand together with me? And God, by His Spirit, wants to do for you what He did for me. For some of you, you might know what it is. God may have dealt with your heart. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. Or perhaps, maybe it is sin. Maybe it is something you know you're doing that displeases God. You've said, Lord, I'll stop, and 1,000 times forgiveness, and now you're like, I give up. God powerfully took something away from me, not by some great spiritual act on my part, but a simple act of humility. He said, I turn and I repent, forgive me. I want you first in my heart. Would you bow your heads right now? Because I want to pray over you. And if there's any things in your life that you look at and you say, wow, that slipped in and became primary on the throne of my heart. I don't care what it is, what area it is. I don't know. You know. I want you to have the opportunity to simply from your soul to say, Father, I turn from that and I repent from that. And forgive me. And expect that the same God that will bring clarity of vision to me will bring it to you. Opening your ears to hear His voice. Bringing intimacy. I found myself praying and struggling to pray because I was always bringing this into it. And now I find myself praying and I don't know that I started. I find myself just praying out of my spirit, out of my heart. And this thing is gone. The weight is gone. Oh, how God wants that for every one of us. How God wants that for you. Because He loves you. Oh, He's desperate for our hearts, the price He paid. And so my prayer is that as His presence fills this room. Oh, thank you for that, my Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence in this room. Lord, you're the liberator. We can't fight our way out of this bondage. We can yield our way into freedom. And so I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice, every person watching online, every person who will hear this later, that as they lay their heart open to you and they evict whatever is sitting on the throne of their heart, that you so graciously just forgive them. And Holy Spirit, what you did for me, in my case, it was so literal, that you do that right now for people in the name of Jesus. As I continue to pray, you in your own heart, from your own mouth, just right where you stand, create a little altar. And you evict those idols in the name of Jesus. I don't care if you feel like you can or can't. Submit to God. And let Him do a great work in you today. Just go ahead and do that right where you stand. Right where you're watching. Whether this you're watching it live or later, God will meet you. God will meet you. God will meet you. Do it right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your holy presence. Thank you for your holy presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So clearly, I saw when I was speaking, and the Holy Spirit say to me, and this is what the Bible would call a word of knowledge. a fragment of the knowledge of God about something that's in the present or the past. It's a fragment. That's all I know. Your need to understand why has become an idol to you. I have to know, why did that happen? It doesn't mean it isn't a legitimate question. It just can't be on the throne of your heart. He commands us, trust in Him with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. Listen, in all of our ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct our paths. Take it up willfully. Say, Pastor, I need it. No, you don't. You need Him. In a few short years, we'll be in heaven. And I promise you, all you'll wish that you had done is heard His voice more clearly on the earth. But I need to understand. No, you don't. You need to hear His voice. And He'll bring you the understanding that you need. And He will liberate what you think is impossible out of your soul. That includes grief. That includes sorrow. That includes anxiety that comes from this. He wants to liberate you. Or you can hold on to that idol. You can live choosing willfully. No, I'm going to live this way. Take off the idols. Get rid of them. And as you do that, receive the freedom that He brings to you. Let's just wait in His presence. Holy Spirit, I thank You for your operations and manifestations according to the Scripture. Thank You, Father God. Father, thank You. Thank You, Father God. Oh, how I worship You. Holy Spirit, I know You're preparing Your people to receive from heaven, but then to be used by heaven with a sovereign move of the Spirit that will sweep this nation. As others will be lifting up the trauma and the darkness and all of the conflict and fighting about the fire, we will live in the fire of God, and the consuming fire of our God will consume all other fires. It will take the serpent of Pharaoh before Moses' serpent, and his serpent, Moses, swallowed up the serpent of Pharaoh. The only hope of the world trapped in reprobate thinking is the power of heaven to redeem broken and desperate people who don't even know that they're broken and desperate. Oh, Father, I pray that we will love every human being like You love them. That we won't let anything replace on the throne of our heart love for human beings, no matter what they're doing, what they're saying, what they're believing. Jesus, help us. Help us so that we can truly be used of heaven to see the fire of God sweep our nation. Thank You for Your manifestations of power. Thank You for it, Father. Thank You for it. Thank You for it, Father God. I'm waiting because I know there's something God's doing in my spirit right now, saying to me, I want to be clear. This is the difference. What is, Lord, I know there's, it has to do with healing in somebody's body. And in times You'll let me know what it is. And I want to be sure if it's specific to somebody. Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. It's twofold. Number one, times of refreshment come to anybody who does this. But for those of you that idol has so clearly been, I don't understand. And it's I have to understand. I can't until I understand. As you repent of that idol, the open door that idol brought of the enemy to come and disrupt your health. If you'll go back, you'll see the timeline that when that grief, that whatever you want to call it, was on the, and you refuse to take it off until you understand, you'll see the decline beginning there. Things within your significant things in your digestion. Well, they said, I have colitis now. Well, yes, physically you may have that. But it's a result of something your body was never meant to carry. And the power of God can take that away in a moment by the gifts of healings. That's what he's wanting to do for you. And I don't know if it's specific to colitis, but so when I say intestinal, I don't mean we'll have a little indigestion. I'm talking about significant things that are going on in you. Is it my gallbladder? What is it? Pancreatitis. And you're checking out 50 different things. This is what it is. And let him bring peace, because your body wasn't meant to carry that. As you turn and cast and evict that idol out, even with every feeling maybe against you, do it. Father, I thank you now for the healing power of God that comes upon those right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Even discomfort and pain that may be there right now, for your healing power, for it to so manifest that it departs immediately. And for every one of us that are evicting idols today, according to the scriptures, that a time of refreshment of the Spirit of God and intimacy with God will emerge in our souls today, in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I speak your blessing over your people. We simply want to have the intimacy that you paid for. Oh, how you love us. Thank you for your presence. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're here today and you were to die today, you don't know where you'd spend forever. There really is an eternity on the other side of this life. There really is. Whether you've been captured in all the nonsense of a culture that tells you this is all there is, you know differently. Down here, you know differently. There really is something on the other side of this life. And every human being has tasted sin, and that sin demands judgment from a holy God. And if I die in my sin, I will personally bear my judgment. Or I can give my life to a Savior, God coming in flesh, so that his judgment can be poured out on himself in your place and my place. That's what Jesus did on the cross. It's why the virgin birth is not silly. I'm too educated to believe that. Sweetheart, you are way too educated. If you get educated beyond eternity, you got hoodwinked. He sent Jesus, born of a virgin, so that God could be in flesh, so the judgment of heaven could fall upon God himself, because he's righteous and sin needed judge. He took your judgment and my judgment. He died, buried, and then he conquered death. He rose from the dead, and he affords any human being who receives Christ to receive that payment and your debt. Listen, your debt's clean. And when you die, you ascend to be in the presence of God. Not because of anything you've done, but you receive the gift of a Savior. Oh, what an amazing way to live. What an amazing way to live. If you're here today or you're watching online and you've never given your life to Christ, or you're not sure, and I'm not talking about religion or church or some sacrament. I'm talking about you knowing I receive Christ into my heart to be paid the debt for me. I receive you now. Thank you for coming. If you've never done that, please don't leave here without knowing him. Oh, so wonderful. Oh, how he loves you. How he loves you. If you've never done that or you're not sure, I want to invite you to pray with me today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to pray for you right where you're standing. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat. Just right where you're at. If you're online, pray right where you are. If you want to receive Christ into your heart and receive the payment of the sin for your debt, and then live for him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you would say, Pastor, would you please include me in that prayer? I want to receive Christ today. Right where you're standing, would you just, with every head bowed, eye closed, just simply raise your hand so I can see it, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The lights are difficult for me to see everybody, but if you've not yet raised your hand, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Oh, what an amazing privilege to know God. And you're about to receive Christ, and it isn't some dead religious thing. A living Christ will come into your life, and your sin debt canceled like a paid off mortgage with no more payments. How many could say amen to that one? Well, this is a mortgage that you can't pay off. It's a debt you couldn't have paid. So if you want to receive Jesus and you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you, and he will never, ever forsake you. Pray it where you hear it, and we're going to all pray it together with you and then celebrate with you. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be the Savior and Lord of my life. Thank you for coming. My sin debt is canceled. I am now a child of God. And when I die, I go directly to heaven. All because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Would you give them a hand? Best decision of your life. If you'll be seated just for a moment, we're going to be dismissed literally in less than a minute. But it's so important if you prayed with me today or have in the past and never let us know that you take some next steps. Don't get busy. Don't, oh, I'm too tied up for that. No, listen. Make him first. Take out your phone. If you say, could I do that in church? Yeah, you can. And text the word redeemed. You'll see it behind me to 97,000. And we'll send you a link with a video for me to help you take next steps in your walk with God so you can begin to learn to live in this freedom. If you pray with me today, if you're watching this online at any time, or maybe in the past you have and you've never let us know so we can help you take some next steps. You're not joining the church. We're just helping you take these next steps, okay? Please text the word redeemed to 97,000. And we're going to do everything we can to help you walk with God and receive and walk in the freedom that Jesus died to provide for you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.